I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. In the new sci-fi thriller Source Code, Vera Farmiga plays Goodwin, a mysterious U.S. officer who sends Jake Gyllenhaal on a mission to save thousands of lives. Her character spends the majority of time dealing with Gyllenhaal as he attempts to understand what's happening to him. In the film, Farmiga acts right to the camera as she's talking to Gyllenhaal, and she admits that acting with those physical limitations is hard. I talked to Vera at South by Southwest in a roundtable interview about rehearsing with Gyllenhaal, if acting to a camera got any easier, and how visuals help her create a character. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Vera.
Did you have to do a lot of like research beforehand?
You know, the research for me, look, I've earlier in my career I played uniform women, and what's to there's always the politics of gender within that profession as a uniformed officer, and who your boss is, and what your job is, and being a... So that the dynamic is certainly something to consider. I've talked to many uniform officers, female officers, so that's something that's in the back of your head, and I don't think it was so much considering that as what her task at hand is, which is to save a whole lot of people. And I think all of us could connect very easily with that idea and that urgency and the need. You know, you turn on the television, and don't you wish you had a program like this so that you could give fair warning, or you know, to evacuate or whatever the disaster may be. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, and I think who among us can't connect with that. So this wasn't a real research kind of a role. It was really just using your imagination and working within the confines of the role, which was pretty limited as far as this kind of the kinds of roles that I'm normally drawn to are pretty much the antithesis of this character. But arc is always important to me, and I found the challenge of that arc within these limitations of these 8-minute increments, I found that to be compelling. How quickly she changes, and how her and the moral dilemma within that, treating Coulter as a science project first, and then getting to know him personally in these 8-minute increments, and then having that impact the way she does her job. So that's really what I focused on most: all the sort of the psycho-spiritual energy between the two, and how best to convey it when the actor's not in your presence. So I did not work with Jake at all.
Right.
Except for in rehearsal. Duncan, it's important in rehearsal to hash out some stuff. And we did, we sat opposite the table in rehearsal. So we had that time spent. And he was there a couple days reading lines off camera. But other than that, it was a script supervisor and me staring into the barrel of the lens, which is extremely difficult to do for an actor who spends most of your time ignoring it. I've only been asked once to do that by, who was it? I think it was in, there's just one moment in Manchurian Candidate, I think as a device, he used the audience, an audience connection. And I thought it was one of those difficult things for me to do. And so, and to know that, oh God, your face is going to be distorted in really outrageous ways, the way your face tends to do when you look into your eye, you know, eye chat camera.
Right.
So, you know, thinking about the character in these ways, how best to convey the emotional life of the character and the mental life with very little movement and the confines of the space.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the part originally written for a man?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
it doesn't surprise me, but that's interesting. I'll ask Ben about that. That's a good question for Ben.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if it was.
Yeah. And so how did you become involved with it? Talking with Duncan or...
Ah, the coffee. I'm a tremendous fan. It really stems from that. I saw Moon at least 8 times.
Oh, wow. Really?
Sam's a good friend of mine. He's an actor that is just too much under the radar, you know, and he's gotten a lot of attention. Like, I've worked with him, and I'm so fond of him, and I just dug his performance, and I thought really highly of Duncan as a storyteller, and just thought he's a unique voice. He's a new vision, you know, for genre that I don't connect to. It's really plot driven. I thought that he just shines a spotlight on the characters and really operates from that angle. And he makes you use your noodle when you watch a film. It's not only simulating in so many visceral ways when you see it, this film in particular, but you've really got to think, and it's mind-bending and boggling. And it took me several reads of the script to actually even on set, and what's interesting is how articulate he is prior to shooting on the visuals. You walk into a pre-production studio, and every space of the wall is filled with visuals, which helps you create the character psyche. But it came to me because I was a fan of Duncan's, of Moon, and I love puzzles. I love putting puzzles together since I was a kid. I think every piece is important. The role itself isn't something that I would probably be drawn to normally, but I really love I love any film, honestly, that leaves you with a kind of healthy perspective on life. I'm a mom with 2 kids. I have a 4-month-old and a 2-year-old and an amazing husband. And just, it's a good reminder to cherish the now and cherish that everything that you hold dear in life. And, you know, I love the note that it ended on. In addition to all the levels that the script works on, I just wanted to be a part of that puzzle. A piece of it.
When you and Jake were rehearsing, was there anything that changed with the script? Came out of those rehearsals?
Sure. And what can I tell you precisely? I mean, I think there was a big change in the scene where she reveals that I think each character has some sort of revelation of a life beyond what you see on screen, a family life beyond that. And I think the scene in which Coulter asked me if I've ever been married before. I think there was more. It explored more a history where that ended up being that scene in particular, where the first time they're really personal with each other. I think that morphed and changed. I'm not even sure from what. I have this strange brain that compartmentalizes every job experience. I truly, literally forget. I don't care how great the experience was. I just forget what the experience. I had to keep copious notes to see what I was thinking at the time. But I know it was something to do with that scene and getting that right and making it brief, because these are 8-minute increments, and it is plot driven. You've got to keep that train running, so to speak. And there's no time to wallow, and there's an urgency, there's a tempo, there's a staccato to the piece on a whole that you have to honor. So I know that scene, as an actress, I wanted to luxuriate. I wanted more depth and exploration of my character, but we ended up paring it down to the essential of what would convey that she has issues.
Well, you gave this like one look when he asked that question. It was like right there. Yeah.
But you know, it's trusting. Now, I just directed my first film, and editing was a big... it was probably the most surprising thing about it, and you don't have to beat audiences over the head. You can take them. You can trust that they're savvy enough to pick up details. You don't have to spoon feed them every information. So that was something that I learned from the new experience of directing. But yeah. Mm-hmm. You brought up that because those moments where you get, you and Jake only have like about 2 minutes before you have to push it back to the source code. Mm-hmm. How did you keep your energy up to kind of be able to be so simple, but then to be so exact while you were doing that?
You know, Duncan, I think I have a, I do have a tendency, I think, to embellish and luxuriate. To me, what's most important, and this is where I had to be efficient, and this is where Duncan was very useful as a director, cracking that whip and saying, urgency, urgency, urgency. Keep in mind, you've got, there are hundreds of lives are about to be lost. And he really kept reminding me of that, because I think as a tendency as an actress, I think what compels me about a character is not what is on what the written lines are, what happens in between the lines, and what the character is not saying. And to me, that's always, I tend to luxuriate in that way, because I think that's what fleshes out a role for an audience, and there's great opportunity there as an actress. So I think it's Duncan. It was Duncan, just being the metronome, because I, in a role like this, you almost want to do more. You tend to want to, you know, I only have a certain amount of time. Let me make this. And he was like, no. Deflating that accordion every time it opens up.
As horrific as source code is, like the actual reality of the machine and the hardware, it did work. Mm. So if you found out there was something like a source code going on right now, would you support it and why? Or would you be against it?
You know, I think there's a little box that you check off on your license that probably should be honored. And if you don't want your body used post-mortem in this very scenario, as useful as it can be a tool, then, you know, some of us are soldiers, some of us are not. We all want peace, you know, but some of us are soldiers. Some of us don't have the heart, the mind, and some of us don't even have the faith in force and in word I'm looking for, but you get my point. I think that I think we all should really consider that box, but that's the moral dilemma, mm-hmm. and that's the consideration for my character. She gets to know Jake's character and feel for him and know him personally and love him in that sense and care for him. You know, her job becomes harder and harder to execute. And then when he asks for, and whereas Rutledge is such he's a man of science, mm-hmm. with good intentions, but it still can come across as ruthless, which it is. I mean, I think if you have an original idea, someone's already thought of it, right? And so if this film exists, maybe this program can exist. But I mean, I don't know. I didn't take physics. I was able to skirt that one and take a really great art class instead in high school. but you know, I think there should be outright volunteers if that is if that's a scenario, a valid scenario.
So there is the alternate universe aspect of this, and briefly you're playing a second version of your character. Did you think about giving that second version of your character different motivations or different emotions?
Yeah, I didn't get that far. I didn't get that far because it blows my mind. It's like I think it's very scary, and the another me. And I don't know if I can. I don't know. I mean, if it's the same. Yeah, it depends. I have no idea how to even begin to think about it. It's too challenging for my small brain. But I don't know. No, no. I think there's. I don't think it was so important to be precise in that frame of thinking to convey that last final moment of bewilderment. Mm-hmm. But you know, anything's possible, and you should. I mean, the way you think about it is well, how would I have done things different? How can I approach something different? I mean, I
oftentimes in my own life, you know, I wish I had a couple chances at reacting to things.
Did you guys talk at all about the multiverse or any of the science behind
it? Yeah. I mean, but Duncan has that kind of a brain. Mm-hmm. I like listening to it, but I'm very much me and in the now. And I guess you have to be a philosopher by nature in that respect. And it's too mind-boggling for me.
You talked about earlier, Duncan, when you came into the office first, you saw the images. You had images that kind of drew you into the story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you already talked about this, but what were they?
Well, it's the very image that you see at the end when she, with both hands, opens up that sarcophagus without revealing too much. I mean, this is where you tread lightly in terms of what's revealed so the audience can experience it as a first-timer. But those images, I wasn't savvy enough to create on my own how grisly it actually is, and where the humanity really was was apparent when I saw these images of who Coulter indeed is. So that helped me put me in a mindset right away from the start. Oh, that's the connection ultimately. That, you know, that's the place where my character has to get to. Acknowledging that.
What was the most difficult part about filming Source Code?
The most difficult thing is not having, you know, having a scene where there's legitimately two characters, but not being in the presence of each other. Shooting is difficult, and acting with those physical limitations that's the hard. But also, I said this expository dialogue is maddening for an actor. It really is. It's boring. All it is information. It's not. It's very difficult to infuse character in it and nuance. And there's a whole lot of it for me. So finding my way through that was a challenge, you know, and making that, conveying that in an interesting way, I think was challenging.
And you mentioned that because you had to stare right at the camera while you were shooting those scenes. Was there like an eye chat where you got to see your own image?
There was only like a barrel camera this big that was right in front. And there were not only that camera, I mean, that's Jake's perspective. Then you have the audience's perspective, and there's usually two cameras from either side at different lenses. Perceiving the audience perception of me. So we were going between these two different experiences, Jake's characters and the audience perspectives. In a couple of days, we had speaker systems, Jake showed up and did his lines. But you see in the last moments of the film what I'm actually seeing to be able to communicate. Right. And that's an entirely different, again, without revealing too much. I experiment. I don't even know what moments, because I wish I could see if there's a pupil dilation thing that happens or if it actually works. There's a couple times I thought, let me try staring at my reflection. So it feels like there's someone there, because you can see your little self in the thing. And I don't know if it brings your... And then I stopped because I think, man, I might come across cross-eyed. So I stopped after a while.
Did it ever get any easier?
Yeah. Once you accept it, everything's easier after day one. You've got to be... The first time you're really in your uniform and you feel that starch and the polyester and it's like it takes a while it takes a good 24 hours to get through the first day, and then everything comes easier for me, at least. I just have to get through the first day, and then there's more of an ease to it. But yeah, embracing that, and what was very interesting too is that Duncan gave us the luxury, because it was just one space. We had the luxury of chronology and to be able to shoot the scenes in sequence, so I could have even my discomfort the actor's discomfort with it, also translated to my discomfort with him, getting to know this guy who's a part of this mission. So it may have helped in that respect.
After being sort of bottled up in this movie, would you want to sort of trade places with Jake and maybe do the running around and, you know, with big explosions?
Well, I feel like I usually get that role, and especially in independent cinema. I mean, this is a studio film, and I find in studio films I don't often get that role, but in independent films I do. And I do more independent films than I do studios. But I do get that opportunity a lot. It's just with smaller paychecks.
Did they ask already? I'm sorry, I was late. But how the screening was last night and your feelings with the audience Q&A?
Yeah, you know, they seem to be really embracing and energized by it. They were really receptive audience. I love watching films. I mean, most of the films I do are supported by independent film festivals, and that's usually the launching pad for the kind of films that I do. And so I just love, you know, they're eager festival goers. They're also the harshest critics. These are the kind of people that see a lot of movies, and sincerely love film, but also see so much of it that it can be really. So I love experiencing that. They're passionate audiences, this particular film like this is meant to be seen on a large screen, not on your own personal device. And I don't often go to see these kind of, you know, action thrillers, and I normally don't see this kind of film. So it was really exciting for me to experience the way I think films should be, with a congregation of people, because people vibe off each other's emotions. Someone giggles, that gives you permission to laugh.
Had you been at South by Southwest before?
No, it was my first time. It's usually Sundance or Toronto or Deauville, but this is my first time. I think Up in the Air came, but they didn't invite me.
I'm not sure what it's called technically, but the thing that you say to Jake's character to bring him back.
Yeah,
I don't know what the technical term is.
This is Beleaguered Castle Acknowledged Transmission.
Yeah. Is any of those things in there? Because I have significant meaning or like hidden meaning at all? It's kind of beautiful.
Duncan. Yeah, it really is. That's a question for Duncan. I know Duncan will know the answer to that. I can't remember what it is. Good question. I think it does. I don't think it's just a random. I think there is a significant. It might be a Ben question. Sure.
How many times did you have to say it?
Several times, a handful of times. I think every time. Every time you see me, I think I start off each scene with that rant, calling him into the mantra. It's his mantra. It's what clicks him into my reality.
Like, that's good.
What's your if you could give a small tidbit of advice to actors, what would that be?
If you're frustrated with not working, then create your own opportunity. I think it's so easy these days with cameras that are cheaper and cheaper each year, and everything's turning digital. Camera phones, I think short films are as important as features. And if you're frustrated, just do it. Stop waiting for people to... That's how I directed Higher Ground. I was just... And this was after the Oscars last year. Granted, I was just about... I mean, I found out that I was 2 weeks pregnant, like 3 days before the Oscars, so that put me out of the loop for certain things. But I still, I just wasn't, I mean, great material always comes my way, but it's still, given the economy, it's just really few and far between to read those gems. And it's pretty cutthroat for actresses who are vying for those roles. And so my manager gave me that advice. He's like, what are you waiting for? Why stop asking for permission? Just create your own opportunity. And if there's a will, then there is a way. I mean, but you've got to have a story to tell or an idea, or if you want to work badly enough, there's always people that you can collaborate with to at least keep your craft sharp and keep your mind and always, you know, and I imagine that's the advice.
Thanks, Vera, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.